appreciate Brother Randy's devotion this morning. It, as most of these devotions usually do, they lead right into my message in chapter number 7. He was in chapter number 6. I want to point the cause of what my message is all about. I want to point you to a verse that he read. Verse 63 of John 6, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. At this point in the life of Jesus Christ, it's a little bit later in his ministry. As we read in chapter number 7 and verse number 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. So you can see the pressure's building on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're openly advocating his death. They want him gone. Now, go to verse number 25, talking about Christ. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? Jesus is preaching and his doctrine is strong. And they ask this question, is not this not he of whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man, whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I'm not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him. But no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man doeth? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. And said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? Skipping a few verses, verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David? And out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was. So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Verse 45, now, then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered in verse 46, never man spake like this man. Their reason for not bringing the Lord Jesus Christ is very apparent. They couldn't get past his words and his actions. The things he said, they witnessed the power in his words, the evidence that what he said was truth, and what he said brought forth results. So they couldn't bring the Lord Jesus Christ. Scriptures tells us in several places why they couldn't. His narrow hour was not yet come. And then in John 17, when he prayed, he said, Father, the hour is come. And in the next chapter, he submitted himself to them. But think with me today of this statement that these officers made. Never man spake like this man. We don't know for sure what they heard, but I know they heard so much, and they heard it in such a way that they would not touch the Lord Jesus Christ or bring him to the Pharisees and the chief priests. There was much doubt among the people about whether or not Jesus was the Christ. Some said he is, and some said he's not. And all through the Gospel of John, you see this controversy among the people. Why so much doubt? Because of the things that he said. The things that he said, they couldn't understand. But they were so powerful, and he had the evidence to prove what he said was true, that they couldn't take him. I want to think today about this thought. Never man spake like this man. I preached from this text another time, but I want to look at it a little differently this morning. His words were not empty like the Pharisees. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the people noted that Jesus Christ's doctrine was not like the doctrine of the Pharisees because he spoke as one having authority. And that authority was manifested in what he said and what happened when he said something. Jesus said of the Pharisees in Matthew 23 and verse 3, talking to his disciples, they say and do not. They say a lot, but they do not. And that's where he was different from the Pharisees. Never man spake like this man, because when Jesus spake, it had meaning with it. I'm going to just give you a few examples of this. In chapter 5 and verse 6, much of the controversy about killing Christ goes back to this fifth chapter. When Jesus had healed a man in chapter 5 of John 5, a certain man which was there which had an infirmity 38 years he lay there. I don't know if he lay there, but 38 years he couldn't walk. He was unable to get up and step into the pool, if you know this story. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Just a brief question to this man who was laying there in hopes of getting into the pool before others, because that was what had to happen. Jesus asked him, wilt thou be made whole? Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Never man spake like this man. He didn't ask him about faith in God. He didn't ask him anything except he asked him, wilt thou be made whole? And then he makes this statement. He says these words, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. There's the critical problem between the Jews, the people, and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees, sticklers for the Sabbath. He healed this man on the Sabbath day, and it caused all this controversy, all this desire to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times in the life of Christ, reading the Gospels, we see this happening. As I said last week in my message, he said to a man with a withered arm, reach forth thy arm. And he stretched it out whole. He didn't make a big to-do about it. He just said, stretch forth thine arm. Do you understand what I'm wanting you to understand today? Never man spake like this man. Who could do that except the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, the prophets at the time had power to heal according to the power of God. that all the miracles that all the prophets ever performed will not add up to what Jesus Christ did in 3.5 years on this earth. He performed so many miracles that John says the world couldn't contain the books that would have to be written just to write down all the miracles that he performed, and most of them he did with this means. A leper came to him one day and he said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me whole." Jesus said, "I will. Be thou clean." And the Bible tells us immediately the leprosy left him. In the Gospel of Luke, also in Matthew, we read about 10 lepers who came to him, cried out that he would heal them. He told them what to do. And they all went, but one came back and Jesus said, "Where are the 9? He said to Lazarus one day, "Lazarus, come forth from the grave." Never a man spake like this man. The widow of Nain had lost her son. They were carrying him out in a casket to take him to the graveyard to bury him. And Jesus touched the casket and said to the young man, "I say unto thee, arise." And the young man sat up. He just spoke to the young man. The woman at the well in John chapter number 4. When she talked to the Lord Jesus Christ, he told her, "If you come to me, I give you the living water." And of course, they began to talk about religion and worshiping God. And Jesus said to her, she said, "We know that when Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things." That was her words. "When Messiah's come, he'll tell us all things." And Jesus said, "I that speak unto thee am he." You know what happened? She went into the town, and I don't have time to read all these, so I'm going to paraphrase them for you. She went into the town and she said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" His words. That's what caused the confusion. That's why they wanted to kill him. The things that he said, his words. Never a man spake like this man. Every miracle that he performed shows that by his words, he was God in flesh. He was man and he was God. Every miracle shows that his word was powerful, whether he spoke to a leper or to a man with a withered hand, a withered arm, whether he spoke to a woman at the well that had five husbands or so many husbands. No matter, his words. Never a man spake like this man. The thief on the cross, "Lord, remember me." What did he do? He replied with words. What did he say? "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You think that happened? I know it happened. Because of the words, because he demonstrated time after time that what he said brought results. And when he said to the thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise," the thief died in peace, expecting to be with the Lord on that same day in paradise. Words he spoke as God-man. And Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." And that manifestation was in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God. And he could say to the waves, "Peace, be still." And the roaring waves on the Sea of Galilee, which were very noted for the turbulence that were created with the waters that came down out of those mountains, those waters lay down flat. And there was a great calm. Never man spake like this man.
power was in his words. But consider also, he spoke before he was born. Now we're preaching on Sunday night from the book of Genesis. What did I impress upon you last week? He was born in a manger and became flesh, but he spoke before he was born. If you believe the Bible and if you believe Genesis 1, which I'm trying to impress upon you to do, in the beginning was the Word, John says in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Which person of God had created the heavens and the earth? Well, John 1 tells us in verse number 3. Maybe we need to turn and read this. We're right close to it. The first chapter of John in the third verse. After saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He says in verse 3, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. When the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, and we told you to look for this, and God said, and God said, and God said. What person of the Godhead was saying these things? Let there be light. The Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 4 of John 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He wasn't distracting us. He wasn't lying to us. He wasn't misleading us. He was telling us the very truth. And when we read in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we look at all those different things as we did last week. The morning and the evening were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day. You need to understand, never man spake like this man. He spoke everything into existence before he ever came into this world. He was born in a manger, that's true. He became flesh. But before he was born in a manger, he existed in the person of the Son of God in spirit. The words, the deeds that he did on earth startled, confused, and hindered a lot of people. But the Bible says in this first chapter of John, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Even though they didn't understand it all, they believed on him. Isn't that where we are? I don't understand it all. I don't claim to understand it all. But I believe it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word. So the Word takes us back to Genesis 1:1. Let there be light. And I told you how in the Hebrews it reads differently. It says light be. Oh, light be and light was. He made it all out of nothing. Being the Word, he spake to Adam. You read about the conversation in chapter number 3 between Adam, where art thou? He spoke to Noah. Build an ark, or I'm going to cause it to rain on the earth. He spoke to Noah. He says, come forth from the ark. He was God then, and he's God
in our text here in John chapter 7, and never man spake like this man. You know, if you consider that when you're reading the Bible, and you see all the times that God manifested himself in so many different ways. When God thundered from Mount Sinai, think about that. Giving Moses the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Never man spake like this man. I know we're looking at him in the sense of his humanity in our text, but I want you to go back and think about this. He was there in the beginning. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1. It tells us in Colossians chapter 1. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 1 that he made all things. He's before all things. The Son, the Spirit of God, and the Father were all present in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. They were all there. Because it's only one God. Three persons, three manifestations. Look at his baptism in Matthew chapter number 3. When he was baptized, I saw the Spirit of God descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And there was a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was there being baptized. Is there any doubt about the Trinity? Should there be any doubt about the teaching of the Trinity? Just because the word Trinity isn't found in the Bible, it's found throughout the Bible. One God. Three persons, revealed time and time again. Never man spake as this man. Remember in John chapter 8 when the woman was dragged into his presence, caught in the very act of adultery. What were his words to her at the end of that situation? "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Never man spake like this man. You think she expected that? Or look at the blind man in chapter number 9. He healed of his blindness. What did he say to him when he finally understood who Jesus was? He didn't know who he was because he was blind until the Lord opened his eyes. He still didn't know who he was. And Jesus revealed himself to him again. And what did he say to him? "Go and sin no more." What is the message of the New Testament to God's people? 1 John chapter 2, "My little children, I would that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous," our high priest we talked about in Sunday school class. We do sin. That God would that we don't sin. Because God is righteous and God is holy. "Neither do I condemn thee." John 10, verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life." Never man spake like this man. Called us sheep. Called us his sheep. He's the good shepherd. Hebrews tells us he's a great shepherd. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He was talking about the same person that revealed himself in John 10 as a good shepherd. He says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them." He knows every one of his sheep. He knows them by name. Remember Mary in the garden when she was looking for the Lord after he had risen from the dead? She looked everywhere for him. I'm paraphrasing this. And she was crying. And Jesus simply said, "Mary." That's all he said. And she said, Master. Now she knows him. He knew her. He said to Zacchaeus up the tree, Zacchaeus, come down, for I must abide today at thine house. Zacchaeus had never met him, but the Lord knew him by name because he was one of his sheep. What a precious thought. Never a man spake like this man. If you're saved today, he called you out. Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Lord, what do you have me to do? Never man spake like this man. They're going about to kill him. They're so incensed with him for breaking the Sabbath time and again. Jesus wasn't breaking the Sabbath at all. But in their mind and their teaching and their doctrine, he was, and he was worthy of death. And eventually they killed him. When they come to capture him, let's look at this in John chapter 18. When he would submit himself to them, after many times saying, my hour is not yet come. As I said in John chapter 17, he acknowledged that his hour had come when he was praying to his Father. Father, the hour has come. John 17, 1. In John 18, as they come, verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. That's what he said to the woman at the well. I that speak unto thee am he. But he says it here, and notice what happens. And Judas also, which betrayed them, stood with him. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he. You'll notice that he is added by the translators. The original language, it was just, I am. You want to really know the secret to that? Go back in the book of Exodus and look where God called Moses to serve him. And Moses asked for a name, and God said, you just tell him that I am. Has sent thee. Jesus claimed that title in so many ways. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He claimed it here. In verse number 6, as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. I wonder why. No, I don't wonder why. Neither do you. We knew why they went backward and fell to the ground. He spoke that name. And it terrorized the Jews. And asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I have told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Even when they were ready to take him to prison, he made sure they didn't go with him. It was his words. And the power demonstrated time and time and time again by the things that he spoke. When he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, he never spoke an untrue word. He never spoke a word that did not have the power of God with it. To do whatever needed to be done. They couldn't bring the Lord Jesus Christ if they wanted to. Why have you not brought him? And their simple answer was, never man spake like this man. You know, we hear the politicians today, they lie and say all kinds of words. They don't expect ever to be have to give an account of it. They deliberately lie. They know they're lying. So eventually no one even listens to them. But let me tell you this morning, everyone here, you should listen to the words of this man. He that heareth my word And believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Immediately. Every man spake like this man was their explanation. Having seen just a little demonstration of when he said something, what happened, the words that he spoke in himself condemned them. They had no power to bring him. Yes, they had the power from the Roman government. They gave this, they allotted this to the high priest, these soldiers, to do their will, but they couldn't do their will. Because they weren't dealing with any man. They were dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Having seen just a little, though they were somewhat confused, they didn't understand even what they were saying. But it hindered them from doing what they were sent to do. Let me ask you in closing, have you heard his words? I stand in this pulpit week after week, time after time, and I want more than anything else, not to tell you what I think, but to tell you what he said. Not to point you to me or to the church or to anything in this world but the Lord Jesus Christ. To exalt him in every way possible, to exalt him. To teach you and lead you. Trust this man. His words have power. As Randy read this morning, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Those are his words. He said that. I preached concerning the promises of Christ, and there were so many of them. I never did get all of them in, but all of his promises are true and amen in Christ Jesus. He never lied. He is the truth. If you're not saved today, won't you hear his word? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Why did God send him? He sent him to die. He knew that all through his ministry. He knew where he was going. He knew what was going to happen to him. But he never turned aside. He set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He knew what awaited him there. But his words are all we have. We don't have miracles in this day and time. I have a bunch of miracles, but I've never seen any of them except through the eye of faith. And because his word has come to me in power, I believe every word that I read in his book. I don't cast it around with doubt like they did. Maybe he's the Christ, maybe he isn't. But when you come to Christ, you cast all that aside. And you become like the thief. Lord, remember me. I just want to be a part of who you are. I just want to trust you. I just want to commit my whole life to you. Because never man spake like this man. And he promised you if you come to him. Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those are his words. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's his word. Are we doing that? Can we trust that? I'll tell you, if you ever really get a hold of what I'm trying to impress upon you this morning, it can change your life. Never a man spake like this man. Everything he said was reliable. Everything that he ever did verified that he was indeed who he said he was. And they're still arguing about it, even to this day. The Jews, as a nation, still haven't received him as the Christ. Now, some have. Thank God for that. But what about you? Have you honestly received him as your Lord and Master? Have you seen him as he's presented in this book? Never man spake like this man. You can trust him. They were afraid to bring him. They couldn't have done it if they'd wanted to. And when they did finally capture him, I wanted to read that scene in John 18. And he just said, I am. And they all fell backward to the ground. Think that was an accident? No, it was the power of God. I am. That I am. Of Exodus chapter 3. I am Jehovah God. I'm the Lord. I'm the Savior. Bow your heads.